Revelation chapter 13. Remember what the name of this book is? First chapter, first verse. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ within you. It's not about something going on external. As long as we keep this external, we miss the whole purpose. Christ has come to live within His people. He's come to indwell His temple. Is that true? Okay. So we got to stop looking at external things. We got to start looking internal. God, I'm so fired up right now. Help me. Oh. I just heard a few words in my spirit as we was worshiping to add to this chapter, and one is alive and one is dead.
Praise God.
Oh, my God. I don't know what all is going to come out, but it's going to come out. Verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to the leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth, and he blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. And I could stop and preach all day on that, and I won't. I'll go on. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I have beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and he caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, and that had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast, worship the image of the beast, should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. And no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Back to the first verse. I stood upon the sand of the sea. Every time I hear sand in Scripture, what does it tell me?
Covenant.
Dust, sand, stars. 3 covenants. So he said, I'm standing upon the sand. Which covenant is the sand? 2nd covenant. Dust, sand, stars. Both of those are upon the earth. Now we're talking about earthly covenants. God made 3 covenants, but He made 2 earthly covenants and 1 heavenly covenant. Is that true? Okay. So He said, what I'm going to tell you right now, I am telling you, God is going to show you this earthly thing first. And what He's showing you here is Adam. I'm going to expose it right up front so you know what we're talking about. I'm not playing no games, but this is Adam. This beast was the humanity that He created and put upon this earth first. He stood upon the sand. The first 2 covenants, the dust and the sand. Look what he says. He said, I stood upon this and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. The sea also can speak of covenants. The sea, the sand of the seashore. It speaks of covenant. And out of these first two covenants, I saw a beast rise up. What beast do you think that is? Natural humanity. Because it was the dust of the earth, wasn't it? So he sees this beast rise up out of the sea, or you could even say the multitudes of humanity. But there wasn't no multitude at the time, was there? So it's the covenants of the sea. Having seven heads, right? What does seven speak of?
Complete.
Now this is a man who was created. Now we got to look at how he was created. If we go back to Genesis 1, how was the man created? What did he say in Ezekiel? He was perfect in all of his ways until iniquity was found in his heart. What did he say about Job? Perfect, upright, loved God, hated evil. Right? We're talking about the man who was created originally, but notice he had seven on his head. Seven is perfection. He was the perfect man, but he had never been tested. All he's trying to tell you in this is exactly like we spoke of this morning before we started this message, was all these tests we're going through. What are the tests for? Who's the test for, Alice? That's right. God's telling you, you're already completed. You're already perfect. You just don't believe it. You're already in perfection. Your spirit can never be defiled, can it? You're in perfection. But you have to understand, we got to walk through the test. Adam failed in his test. Did God cast him out forever?
No.
Heavens, no. And there were 10 horns... on these seven heads. It speaks about the law. It speaks about how humanity loves to have doctrines and formulas and routines and regiments and boundaries, limitations in his life, because then they can always blame it on somebody else. See, if someone else gives you the regulations, the limits and boundaries, if anything doesn't work right, it's got to be them because they're the boss. God's just laying this out for us. Let us see how we keep looking external for all these external limitations and boundaries. That's not what it's about. The only boundary you have is the love in your heart. Nothing else. The law has been fulfilled. The only law I have is the law of love. And he said that's the greatest two commandments there are. Love. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the only limitation I have. And you know what? I can't treat you bad and say I love you. That makes me double-minded. I got to love you. And if I love you, you don't have to doubt whether I love you. Did John not teach us in 1 John 3:18? Love not in word nor in tongue, but love in deed and in truth. Well, that means you'll know I love you because I'm not going to do anything to hurt you. And if something would happen to pop up in the scenario that would make you think that maybe I did do something to hurt you, it surely wasn't intentional. If you know my heart and I'm living my life right, you will say, he didn't mean to do that. She didn't mean to do that. So you won't first accuse, you will first excuse. You won't accuse to start with. You'll say, no, that might have happened, but they didn't mean that. That was just an accident. The first thing you're going to do is not accuse anybody. You're going to say, wait a minute. I know their heart. And the first thing I'm going to say is, even if they did it, doesn't make any difference because I know they didn't mean to. Something else is going on. Okay? And these 10 horns, and upon these horns were 10 crowns. So the law and the whole thing is rulership, crowns. Okay? And 10 again is the law, right? So this rulership is in the law. Everything that's done in their hearts is controlled by what? The law. The law. Not the law of love. This is that natural man that comes up out of the sea, out of those first two earthly covenants. And upon or in his head is the what? The word name is nature. Is the nature of blasphemy. It's evil speaking against God. See, man always exalts himself against God. True or false? Always. Isaiah 14:12. I'll exalt myself to the mount of God. I'll be the God, see? That's humanity. And God's revealing in this that there is an earthly beast that come up out of these covenants, out of these first two covenants. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. You know what a leopard is? What's the first thing you can tell me about a leopard? Aha. Uh-huh. And you know what? God said He wanted a church without spot or wrinkle, didn't He? We can't have any flaws in us. But you know what? We don't have any flaws in us. The only flaw is in our thinking. He created us perfect in the day that we was created. God didn't make a mistake. It's what we think. All we need is our thinking adjusted. That's all. If we can get our thinking from the dust through the sand and into the stars, we'll have no problem because we'll know who we are, won't we? We'll have the identity. Now, he looked like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. The bear speaks of ferociousness. It speaks of the worldly ways. Okay? The bear represents the world. Okay? So he's spotted, and he acts just like the whole world, doesn't he? See, there's no justification in our lives to serve God when we can say, well, they did it. I don't care what they did. I've got to protect that heart we talked about earlier. I've got to protect my own heart. I can't do it because someone else did it. I've got to know in my heart I love God and I love His creation and I can't do anything else. I don't care what they do. That's no justification for me. I don't care if the multitudes of the church realm can fight and claw and bite. I can't do it. Can I? We have to walk the way He's called us to walk. But his lifestyle is the lifestyle of the world. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Well, you know, we're talking about a lamb here. We're supposed to be like the lamb. Bill, brother, you said something a while ago that said sometimes my speech isn't what it should be. See, that's that mouth of that lion coming out. Does that make you a bad person? No. But you're dissatisfied with it. And when you can confess it and forsake that, then there will be mercy in your life. But it's a process. God knows that. He's not wanting everything to just zip, done. That's not what He's after. But it's every little bit of our life. Every day God is revealing something else to us so we can look at it and say, that's not the lamb. That's of the lion. That's got to be changed. I've got to forsake that thing. I've confessed it. I've recognized it. Now I've got to get away from it. Just a process. No condemnation involved in this. And the dragon gave him his power. What is the dragon? The ancient and the honorable is the head. It's the thinking. The mind of humanity gives all this power to the beast, doesn't he? The thinking process of humanity. So he gave him all of his power, all of his authority, right? And his place of rulership, his seat. I have scripture I'm not going to go into. I'm going to preach this morning. I'm not going to go that way. I'm going out of my heart this morning. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered or marveled about the beast. Now, I saw one of his heads that was wounded. One part of him was wounded. He was wounded unto death, but his deadly wound was healed. I want to come back to this thought process as I get through the scripture farther. I'll come to that. I'll answer these questions that you might have about this verse later in this passage. And they worshipped the dragon. Now, what are they worshipping? What is the dragon again? It's the power of the thinking process. See, they're worshiping their thought processes above God's process. God says, and they said, but I think. That don't work. God said, that's it. See, I can't think above what God says. He even tells us, my ways are above your ways, my mind is above your mind. See, but man still thinks they can come up with an idea. And this is no new thought process. This has been from the beginning. God knows how this humanity works. He created it. He knows that it will come in contradiction to his spirit continually. So, he says, and they worshiped the dragon. See, this thing up here. And they gave power unto the beast. That's the human man. And whenever your thinking process comes into agreement, and we're still talking about this natural man yet, this earthly man, when this earthly man gets his mind lined up that he is the greatest, he'll be the greatest in his mind. But that's the only place he's the greatest. In Genesis 11, when they had the Tower of Babel, God said, if they get together and find out what they can do anything. They can accomplish anything. See? If they get this mind hooked up with the flesh, get it all working in that way, in that soulish realm, they can accomplish anything. But that's not the way we're supposed to do it. I can do all things through who? Not through me, is it? See? It's not I can do all things through Dave. Mm-mm. I can do all things through the Christ. So I got to turn the rulership back over to him. But we're talking about this earthly man right now. And they, that's the ones that live in the dust and the sand, the earth covenants, worshiped the dragon, and which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, that's themselves, saying, who is like unto the beast? Okay? Who is able to make war with him? Isaiah said, there's none like this beast. Okay? This beast is Adam. I'm just letting it out right now. Verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now here's what's amazing. He was given power and authority to speak all kinds of blasphemies and evil things, but he was limited. The natural man's got a limit. 42 months. He's only got a set time. Later on he says in 14, he says, or the devil's come down, and 20 says, the devil's come down knowing he has but a short time. He's limited. The church preaches he's unlimited. He's more powerful than God. I've got a problem here with that. He has no power. God gave him power and authority to speak for 42 months. He's limited. And guess what? That 42 months can end pretty quickly since it's symbolism. He's got a certain time to do something and then he's cut off. Right? John saw something when he saw this. And I think he saw something in this first verse. I'm going back to verse 1 now. In this first verse when he saw this, standing on the sea and saw this beast rise up, I think he saw the perfection of humanity in its creation. I think John was taken back at this time to see what God did from the beginning. Showed him everything. He showed him the creation of humanity. He saw the perfection of humanity. When God had created creation, what did he say when he finished? He stood back. No, he didn't say it was good. He says, very good. It's very good. Did God make a mistake when he said that? Then why should we condemn ourselves? God said, when he created us, you're very good. He's very pleased with what he did. He's not angry with us. He's not trying to destroy us. But he saw this perfection. John saw also in this passage we've talked about so far, he saw the duality in our thinking. It wasn't just that he saw what went on in Adam. He saw it in himself. So when you see this passage, you have to look at it and see that this is me. And see the duality in my thinking. I have to know that God has created me in His image and His likeness. I am perfect in His image and His likeness. But this flesh was not created in God's image and likeness. Hello? My spirit was created perfect in His image and likeness. This flesh was something He formed from the dust of the earth, and He placed His breath, the King James says, but the word is spirit within that. And that is the perfection that we have to look at. That's why Paul said later on, we see no man after the flesh any longer. We see the man after the Spirit. John saw this. And this is what you have to see by the Spirit, that God has opened this up and say, hey, this is me in here he's talking about. We got to see this thing internal. It's about me. It's about you individually and corporately. If you can't see this, if you can't see what God's doing, how are we going to get in God's purpose and fulfill it? We got to find out how to get inside of God's mind, and by His Spirit, we can do that. He has revealed all things unto us. John said we have an unction from the Holy Spirit. We have an anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. See, it's in there, but we've got to take the time to listen to what God says. Hear what His Spirit is saying to us. Then we won't have a problem with it. And he opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme His name or His nature, and His tabernacle. Literally, this word tabernacle means to prefigure indistinctly or disclose partially. Literally, it's a shadow. Right? You just see something indistinctly or partially, what would that be? Just a fleeting shadow by. So he came to blaspheme His nature and His shadow. Well, what was His shadow? Adam. Adam was the shadow of Christ, was he not? Was he not a shadow and a type? He came to blaspheme that. So really what we're talking about, we're not talking about this devil or this dragon, we're talking about humanity, its thinking itself, was blaspheming itself. Doesn't that sound like condemnation? Huh? Isn't that condemnation? When you say, I'm not good enough? What do you think Adam was crying out? I'm not good enough. I have failed. I've had the wrong thought processes in my head. God's just trying to show you, I knew it all along. Who do you think put it together? It's not condemnation. That's not even what it's about. He was hiding behind those fig leaves, wasn't he? And he's revealing that he'd come to blaspheme His nature, His shadow, and them that dwell where? In the heavenlies. Well, where were we called to live? Paul said we're seated now in heavenly places. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Paul didn't make it a reality. Paul just told you something that was already going on. Ephesians says, we were chosen in Him before the foundation or the conception of this world. Right? Well then, Paul didn't seat me in the heavenlies. God put me in the heavenlies from before the foundation of the world. Right or wrong? See? So he's not changing anything. All Paul was doing is revealing what's been in us from before the foundation or the conception of the world. It's just confirming what God has already done. He's revealing it to us. And it was given to him, the beast, the Adam nature, the Adam man, to make war, not with, but the word is meta. Literally says amid or in the midst of. Where does the war with you rage? It's not raging in the world out there today. Every war we have rages between our ears. That's where the battle is. And see, that thing inside of me, that natural man, is warring against the Spirit of God. It wants to get to the throne. It wants to exalt itself above God. It's not going to. I read the last part of the book a long time ago, and we win. It can't win the war. We've already won it. And we won it because we were in Him. I can say, we have won the war because we were in Him. But the battle's already been won because of Him. Whatever He did, I did in Him. When He hung on the cross, did we hang on the cross? When He resurrected, was I resurrected? Was you resurrected? Absolutely. If not, then we're still dead. I'm alive today. And it was given Him to make war within the saints or in the midst of the saints. And to overcome them, and power was given to him who? The beast. over all kindreds or tribes, all the 12 tribes of Israel, all the nations, and tongues, and all the Gentiles. The word nations, Gentiles. So he was given power over all of humanity. Duh. We were born in this thing. We didn't ask for it. And this fleshly thing overcame us. That's where he said he had power to overcome the saints. Duh. The seed was not yet mature in us yet. How could we possibly stop this natural fleshly thing that God placed within us if God's timing hadn't come about yet to bring that spirit to life to then overcome that thing? It's in God's time that every man shall be brought forth. See, it's not about us doing anything. No wonder he could overcome us. Because it was given, God gave it to him to overcome us so we would fight and struggle through all the stuff we lived through so we could overcome. If we didn't have that negative in our life, what good's the positive? Yeah. It's got to make a loop, don't it? Electric's got to make the loop or it's no good. Oh my God, get me excited here. And all that dwell upon the earth, and it means permanently, the ones who are not planning on going to the heavenlies, the ones who are of the dust and the sand, the first two covenants that he's talking about, shall worship him. Now, he didn't say they might. He said they shall worship him. Worship him. Who? The beast. The dragon, the beast. Whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain, right, or sacrificed from what? The conception. The word foundation literally is conception of the world, or the cosmos, the orderly arrangement. Now, this is where God revealed to me that this was Adam. And he told me exactly when Jesus, the Lamb, was slain. Not before the foundation, literally at the conception. When Adam said in his heart, I will. Instead of listening to what God said, he said, I will. Right there, he slayed the Lamb in his own heart. Right there. That's the very instant that the Lamb was slain before the foundation. Okay? Verse 9 says this. Well, I'm not through with that other verse yet. He was slain before the conception of the cosmos. The word cosmos means what? Orderly arrangement. See, God had an arrangement, didn't he? And man came around and wanted to rearrange it and make it in his way. That's all. That's what this thing is about. And he said, whenever man decided, I'm not going God's way, I'm going to do my own thing, right there's where the Lamb was slain. The arrangement has been changed in our thinking process. God's no longer in the forefront in humanity. It's in the back seat. And it has to be changed. Verse 9 says this, if any, the word man shouldn't even be there, if any have an ear to hear, let him hear. All he's saying is something spiritual coming on. Something big truth, hang on. You need to really pay attention to what we're saying. It's the same in the old covenant when he said, they lift their eyes and looked afar off. They looked into the Spirit. It's no different when you have an ear to hear. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you. Okay? He's saying the same things to everybody, but everybody can't hear it. He that, or the if anyone leads into captivity, they shall be led into captivity. If anyone kills with the sword, what's a sword? Do you know how many people are living in those first two covenants are killing people right this instant this morning with words of condemnation and guilt and low self-esteem? Do you realize that? God's not talking about a steel thing with a handle on it that you chop people up with. He's talking about the words that come out of our heart. He said, out of the heart of man comes every kind of evil abomination that you can think of. But when our heart has been exchanged for that new heart in Ezekiel, guess what? We're going to bind up the brokenhearted. We're going to pick up all the lame and the crippled. We're going to love all of humanity, even the ones wielding the swords. They must be killed with, right? Or literally in the sword, in the word. If they kill with the word, they got to be killed with the word. Okay, if I am killed, if I kill people with the word of God, if I'm wielding a harsh, vile word, condemnation, hell, devils, and all this crazy stuff, and I'm killing people spiritually with this word that I'm speaking, this letter of the word which kills, but the Spirit gives life, right? So if I am doing that, then I am going to have to die because I'm not dead yet. See, I'm not dead to myself yet, am I? If I'm still killing people with the letter of the word, then I'm not in the Spirit. So I'm doing everything with the intellect of man. So while I'm doing that, then I am going to have to die by this same word. Adam was the beast that was slain. We get down to another verse there. He was slain with a sword, and yet he had a deadly wound with a sword, but he did live, didn't he? Didn't God say, if you eat of this tree, you shall what? Wasn't that the word of God? Well, isn't that a sword? What did he die with?
The word.
See? The word of God dealt with him in his life. And then when he was on the cross, there was a man hanging on either side of him, wasn't there? And one man said, if you be the Son of God, the same as the mind that tempted him in the desert in the temptation. And the man on the other side of him says what? Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. He said, you'll be with me today in paradise. And when Jesus spoke, he was speaking the word of God. The sword of God healed him and restored him back to his place. That's all it is. Okay? Oh, my God. Now notice this, what he says. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. This is patience, he says. If I lead into captivity, I'm going to go into captivity. If I kill with the sword, I'm going to die with the sword, right? Here is the patience of the saints. Know this, if I don't kill nobody, I ain't got to die. If I don't put nobody in captivity, I ain't got to be in captivity, do I? See, that's the love of God. That's the love of God. And see, I can stand in patience in this and peace because no one can intimidate me or put fear in my life because God already said. And what's more important? God said. It's more important than anything anybody else says. They can threaten all they want to threaten.
Amen. Amen.
What difference does it make? It's just that barking of a dog. It doesn't mean anything. I'm not afraid of it. God's already told me. That's it. Verse 11, and I beheld, or I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, notice this. It came up out of the same place the first one came from, didn't it? Huh? It came out of the earth. Well, the first one did too. He was on the sand. He stood on the sand of the seashore and watched it come up out of the sea, which is still part of the earth. Now, those first two covenants, he's just saying it a different way right now. And he said, I saw this beast coming up out of the earth. Literally, the earth is humanity. What are we made out of? The earth. Okay? And now look what happened. This is a different beast, but it's in the first beast. Watch this. He came up out of the earth, out of humanity, and he had two horns. Now, where are horns on the anatomy of any animal? They're on their head. Two speaks of what? Duality. Here we're speaking duality. Double-minded, James said, right? We're double-minded. So, he sees this beast come up out of the earth. He's double-minded. He has two horns on his head. That's his mind. He has two authorities. He has the mind of Christ, and he also has the mind of Adam. See, that's the way it was from the beginning, see? He has this duality here. And look what he says. He had two horns like a who? Now we're talking about people who are supposed to be Christians. See? But what they talk like? You think that's double-mindedness? Here's somebody says, oh, I'm a good Christian, and they cuss you out and drop the hat. Well, see, this is that religious beast. It came up out of the earth, and it acted like a lamb. It tried to act like Christ. But see, the only problem is they got here, they were only acting like. See, our call is not to be like anything. Our call is to be the Lamb of God. We're not going to be like any Lamb of God. We are to be the Lamb of God. Right? There's a difference here. I don't want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be like the Christ. I got to be the Christ. I've got to be able to walk it out in this earth and give life to somebody. I can't just be like something. I don't want to be some imitation. I got to be the real thing. And he exercised all the power of the first beast. Now look at this. Here's this religious beast that come up, and he didn't exercise the power of Christ. He exercised the power of the beast, the earthly man. If that ain't religion, honey, what is it? That's all the church is doing today. They're walking around in their own intellectual power and strength. They're not walking in God's Spirit. It's their own way to do things. We'll do it my way. Well, there's a higher way. Isaiah talked about, and the lion can't get there, not even the vultures. They can't even pick the dead carcasses. But he said he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, or in his presence, and caused the earth and them which dwell permanently there, right? The ones that dwell there, or therein, or in the earth, to worship the first beast. Now, which beast is it? This is that natural man. Worship and self. My own thought processes. I couldn't possibly be wrong. None of us ever said that, did we? Well, see, that's worshiping the first beast. To never be able to take a look, honestly take a really legitimate look at somebody when they complain about what you're doing. Oh, you got to be wrong. We better take a look at it. See, if I think that anything that goes through my head is absolutely right, has no possibility of being wrong, I'm worshiping that first beast, self. That self can't be wrong. I've got to look at everything, every word of accusation that comes against you. Cindy brought last week about somebody said something in your life, and she didn't like it, but you looked at it, didn't you? And you can learn from it. It may be true, and it may be false, but you've got to sift it out to see if it's right. If I don't look at every accusation that comes, and here a week or so ago I read a list of 30-some things that people were accusing me of. Well, I looked at them. If there's anything that needs to be changed, I need to change it. And I will take those accusations as a gift of God because it revealed something in my life. And there were some things in there I did see. They weren't big, major things to break anything up, but I saw things in there. And so I had to look at them and have to forsake them. I have to confess, yeah, there were some things there that maybe I am. Not all the things I was accused of, but there were some things there that I needed to look at. And when I did, I can say, amen, Lord. There was a fault in my life I needed to correct there.
That's the light of Christ.
Just have to let the light look at it, and it'll change it. Whose deadly wound was healed, this beast, which dwell therein or in the earth, to worship the first beast. See, I got to look at all this stuff. I can't let my thinking process override what God says just because I don't like it or it doesn't fit the situation. My life has got to fit God's life. God's not trying to fit His life within me. I'm trying to fit my life within Him. Whose deadly wound was healed, right? Or the one whose deadly wound was healed. And He does great wonders. Who? The first beast. Does great wonders that He makes. And this word first beast, I didn't touch it. But the word first is the word protos, where it says first beast there in verse 12. The first beast is the protos beast. The word protos in the Greek is where we get our English word prototype. I can't help it, I've got to teach some of it. Prototype. So you understand that when this prototype beast, who would that possibly be? It's the first beast created. The first thing made is the prototype of anything. If they make an airplane to fly it, they make a prototype to see if it will work from the design. Right? Well, God didn't build a prototype to see if it'd work. He knew what was going to happen. That's why He's trying to tell us. He built this thing, but the first one, there has to be a first one, don't they? And he was the first one. He's just teaching us about ourselves. And he does great wonders in so that he makes fire. And what is fire? Fire is judgment and purification. Come from heaven to the earth. Okay? From heaven to the earth. Fire is judgment and purification. Now, the first man, he's going to do all these signs and wonders, and he's going to make fire come to the earth. He's going to make, because of the duality of his mind and the strength of his intellect, he's going to rain fire, which is judgment and purification, to the earth. Well, that'll make you happy. It's not destroying the earth. It's bringing purification and judgment to the earth. God's judgment's not destruction. It's correction. And God's going to correct what man does. And man, in doing what he does, is only fulfilling exactly what God wants. Right on course. They're doing exactly what God wants. And they're going to bring that correction to him. Matthew 24:24 is a scripture that says, goes right along with this next verse, it says that if possible, even the very elect should be deceived. Okay? If possible. And it says, by signs and wonders and miracles, they would deceive, these false Christs would deceive the ones coming. False Christ. That's the Antichrist. It's a plural. It's not just one person. But it says that they deceive them that dwell upon the earth, verse 14, through the means of those miracles, right? Or the miracles that they had power to do in the sight of the beast or in the presence of the beast. It's talking about the mind. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image, right? An image is not reality. Hello. See? There's the problem with the church. They're worshiping an image of God. They're worshiping not the reality of God, are they? This image is just an image. It's not the reality. That's why in the Old Covenant, Israel was constantly worshiping idols because they had never saw the reality of God. Was it their fault? God said man cannot see God and live. And the word was Adam man. The word root word is Adam. No man shall see God and live. The natural man can't. And until God had brought Christ to the earth to purify this temple that he can dwell within man now, man can't see God. And you know what the problem is today? People still believe they can't see God. They still believe they can't see God. Well, I'm here to tell you, the temple's been cleansed. God dwells within humanity. I can see in the windows of humanity and see God in them. I can see. There's life within each one of us, and we can look into the windows of someone else's life and see. What are you talking about, Rick, about windows looking in this morning? Not a coincidence. People can see the God in people. Not because we know more than they do. It's the way we live our lives. It's not about how smart we are. It's about how we live our lives and how we love and accept people, not for the things they do wrong, but for who they are. It's not the issue of right and wrong. It's about God in them and God in us. But anyway, he deceives them that dwell on the earth. Note something here. As long as we stay in Passover or Pentecost, that's on the earth. Dust and sand. First two covenants. Those people have no opportunity, as long as they stay there, to go on. I'm here to tell you, all of us have started in Passover. We step into Pentecost. And only by the grace of God, if you read Hebrews chapter 4, 5, I think it is, he said, if God permit, we'll go on beyond these foundational principles. If God permit. See, this isn't a choice about ourselves. It's a choice that God has made, and he's placed his heart within certain vessels, and those vessels will go on because God has permitted. We can't do it because we want to. We can only have the want to if God gives us the want to. And then we will. It's not a want to anymore, it's a will. But anyway, he deceived those people by the miracles that he had power to do, right? in the presence of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth permanently that they should make an image, see, not a reality, and these people don't really care about anything except an image. We got to get beyond images. We can have any kind of image we want in our mind. I can make God be that long, brown-haired, blue-eyed, slender, good-looking, handsome guy that they hang on the wall. But you know, that's not where I see God. I see God in so many shapes and forms I can't even begin to tell you. It's not about that image that I have about this one God. Because I really, if you asked me to draw a picture of God right now, it'd be so difficult. Because he'd have millions and millions of faces. Millions and millions of hands. How are you going to draw that picture? See? Right. You can't draw that picture. We can't have an image any longer of God in that way. God is He'll give them. And he deceived them that dwell on the earth, verse 14, by the means of those miracles. Today the church is living for one thing. Give me a sign, give me a wonder, give me a miracle. See, I'm not looking for that. If you're looking for that, that's what you'll get. But still not the reality of Christ. The reality of Christ is the maturity of Christ in my life. See, I'm not just interested in being a son of God because I am a son of God. But I'm interested in being a weos son of God. A mature son of God. Every time they referred to Jesus, he was the weos, the mature son. See, that's all I'm interested in. I'm not interested in just being a son because we're all sons. See, we need to be that mature, obedient son that we've been called to be. Right? And he said, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. That's the place where normally I would have said, that was Adam. He died by the word of God in Genesis chapter 2 and 16. Don't do it. Genesis 3, he did it. Did he die right there? It was a spiritual thing. It was something spiritual. He died 120 years later, it says in Genesis 6. He died 120 years later. See, it's not about right at the moment. It was a spiritual thing. And because our mind drew an image that was not of God, and Adam did that, and Adam did not die instantly when he partook of the tree, what do you think went through his head? Ha ha ha! God was lying to me. Just like we do. We can point at Adam, but we just might as well be pointing at ourselves, hadn't we? We think that when God says something and it don't come instantly, ah, he didn't mean that. He meant what he said. He meant it. Not ours. But he was wounded by the sword, the word of God, and on the cross, God restored Adam. He restored humanity. See, we can look at it at one man, but I see it as all of humanity. And we're talking about one humanity, and that's the same one. In Adam, we all came from him. The seed came out of that man for every one of us. Adam was our father in the flesh. And that whole flesh, the whole humanity, was restored in that one man on the cross. Same thing. Just one humanity. Now, where am I at? 15. And he had power. And he had power and gave life unto the image of the beast. See, it wasn't a reality, was it? It was an image, just in people's minds, what they think about themselves. In order that the image of the beast should speak and cause as many as should not worship the beast, image of the beast should be killed. Now notice this. He said that if they didn't speak or worship the beast, what did they cause them to do? They were killed. And today, doesn't religion teach this? If you don't talk like me and you don't walk like me you're going to hell. Right? If you don't bow to their image, their idol of what God is. See, there's a Baptist God, and there's a charismatic God, and there's a Catholic God, and there's a Jewish God, and there's a Hindu God. We're all talking about God, but we've all made an idol of Him. There should be no idol of God. That's why there's never been a picture of God throughout history other than man's rendition. There's never been a picture of Christ. Why? You can't put all those faces on one canvas. It's impossible. Whoever was Da Vinci or one of them artists that painted a picture of the Last Supper with Jesus or something, how could you put a face on something that's got a billions of faces? How can you do that? It's impossible. They don't even know what you're talking about. They're just building images in their head. Verse 16. And He caused all, both great, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and their forehead. Now, notice in that first part of the verse, and He causeth. What tense is that word? He caused. Now, they can talk about this beast that's going to come and going to do this and this futuristic stuff, but that word's past tense. And I'm going to tell you, if right in this room, as an example, this was all of humanity, this is it. Okay? If this is all of humanity right here. Now, if we was to pass away and say that there's somebody coming that's going to cause all of us to receive a mark, how can you mark somebody that's dead and buried and rotted away and burned up and the beast eat them? How could you mark them people? Could you? The only one who could mark everybody would have to be alive from the what? From the beginning. And this is Adam. He was the only one. He put His nature in all of us, didn't He? Adam was the seed that we all came from in the flesh. Not in spirit, but in flesh. So He put this mark, this mind of humanity in each one of us, didn't He? And He put it in there to the rich and poor, great and small, free and bond. If you're born into this vessel of flesh, you got the mark. It's not something you're going to get. He caused it. Is that what it says? He caused it. The beast caused everyone to receive the mark. And He caused it not on His own will. Who set it up? God set this thing up. He's just trying to teach us who we are and teach us about the nature of ourself and how desperately wicked and evil it is, as He says in Jeremiah. The heart of man is desperately wicked, evil above all things. In Genesis, He wrote and said, when man's left to himself, his heart is only continually wicked. See? He's trying to expose to us, when we're left to ourselves, we can't do anything right. It's just going to be a mess. He caused all to receive this mark in their what? In the right hand. All it speaks of, right hand, speaks of power and authority. My power and authority, does it come from Adam, the natural humanity, or does it come from God? See? And humanity in the religious realm tries to do it all in their own spirit, their own soul. Not spirit. They're not doing it in the spirit of God, but doing it in themselves. And He said, a mark in their foreheads. What is in our foreheads? It's our minds. So what is my mind working on? Is it working upon God? Is it thinking upon God? Is my work centered on God? Or are they centered on doing what I can do for myself? Which one should it be? It should be upon God on everything. But see, Adam already caused us to receive that. We were born with this mark of the beast. We were born brute beast. The Bible says so. Scripture says we were born but brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. It's not talking about anything but our flesh. Not talking about the spirit, because spirit can't die, can it? Now, and He said that no man might buy or sell except he that had the mark or the nature of the beast, the name is nature, or the number of his name. Now, what do you think He's talking about? He said, if you ain't got this mark, you can't buy or sell. Now, He's not talking about you can't go down the store and buy a loaf of bread unless you've got 666 tattooed on your forehead or your right hand. I preached a message one time, and I had to and a lot of people think it's computer chips, and they think it's UPC codes on everything you buy. I preached a message and took a piece of tape and stuck it on my forehead with 666 and had it on my hand. Had some laughing and some crying. And then I took it off and I took the UPC code and stuck it on my head. Had one on my hand. And I had it off of Charmin. That's what I thought about it. Got it off of Charmin. And I was going to use a computer chip, but they hurt when you stuck them on your forehead. They had them little stickers on them. They hurt, so I didn't put that on. I just told them about it. But I had some people mad and some were laughing. It's the truth. See, people think they got these images of what God's talking about. It's not what He's talking about. That's not the image He's talking about. I have the mark in my works. Are my works for me or are they for God and His people? That's all it is. Is my thinking process centered upon me, ego, or is it upon humanity? Is it upon God? Which one is it? You don't have to answer the questions except for yourself. Where is your mind centered on? Is it more important what I get out of this life or what I can do for everybody else? Which one is it? Jesus didn't come to see what He could get out of this life, did He? As the Christ upon the earth, He said, Father, not my will, but Your will be done. And that's what our life has got to be. It can no longer be about me. It's about the we. Kind of goes along with the we us, we and us. Okay, verse 18. Here's the kicker. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of what? Not a man. That word a is added. It's the number of man. What day was man created on? Sixth day. Just the number of man. Now, I've heard all kinds of spiritual things about 666. Spirit, soul, body. Well, I don't totally believe that. I don't believe that. But what I do believe is this. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 1, if you want to turn there just for a minute, I'm going to wrap this thing up. 2 Corinthians 13, 1. God gave me a totally different view of this number. Paul starts out the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians saying this, this is the third time I am coming to you or appearing with you. In the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I can give you Scripture, Matthew 18, verse 16, John 8, verse 17, and all of these talk about this being the witness of two or three. I could go in the Old Testament and pull up Scripture in in the Pentateuch, in the first five books of the Bible when the law was being laid down. He said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everyone will be condemned or judged. Okay? So this is not some new thing. Everything is being done by the witness of what? Six, six, six. All it is a witness of humanity. That's all it is. It's just a witness of humanity. I was a man. I was created a man in the flesh. That's all. And this flesh vessel is being used to perfect my thinking, bring me back to my identity. That's all God's trying to do, is bring us back. He's not trying to separate us out on individual walks and set you on this mountaintop and somebody on that mountaintop. He's trying to bring us together. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, a feast of ingathering, a feast of oneness. It's not dividing and subtracting. It's adding and multiplying. That's God's view. And I'll speak that anywhere I go. I don't care. It's about that. So this 666, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of man, and this number is 666, or 666. He just gave you a witness of everything He said. It's just man, man, man. Three times. That's it. Just a witness. I got that in pretty quick. Question?
What is the significance of that, that no man might buy or sell?
Okay. In verse
17. So he's saying, you can't buy or sell. What he's telling you, the system of man, this beast system, is corrupt. Because God is excluded from the world system. God is not utilized in the world system, is it? They try to exclude God from everything. So if I have the mark removed from me, and I am not like the natural man, that I can justify every wrong thing I do because it's good business, okay? Guess what? I'm not going to fit in their system. How can I go in business with someone and they have this corrupt mind? Right? My mind's been renewed, and they say, well, we got to start taking some of this stuff under the table. You know, take a little money under the table here. And you say, no, I can't do that. Can I? I can't agree with the thinking of the world. If I begin to agree with it just on one instance, what's going to happen? It's going to multiply. It's like a snowball rolling down the hill. The first time I do something wrong and I know it's wrong in my heart, you know, I need to say, oh, wait a minute, that's wrong. But I've stopped it. See, I've stopped it. I've identified it. I've confessed it. I say, I can't do that. But when I do it one time, say, well, just a little bit. It didn't hurt. The next time it's easier to go a little bit farther and a little bit farther. And the next thing you know, you went beyond all the bounds that God has set out for you. And that's what this system does. You can't buy or sell unless you think like we think. You're not going to fit in the world system unless you do it our way. But I tend to disagree with that. Because I believe we can operate in the world system and work with godly principles, and God will take care of it beyond what man can't even figure out why it works.
Well, it started out with common sense.
And it can still do it. Man's just corrupted everything.
In other words, you're not going to get rich unless you do what we do.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
It's all about money. See, and the love of money is what? The root of all evil. The love of the money. And that's what it's all about. This whole system is set up in this world about money, wealth, what you got. And that's not what it's about, is it? It's about the love of God that we have in our hearts.
A lot of seminars that I go to on money for accounting or whatever.
Uh-huh.
They use J.C. Penney as an example.